What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, August 20th, 2020. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We've got a lot to talk about, and this is our normal mode. We're going to talk about the news. Mike in the control room is saying me too. We've got a lot to talk about, and when we run out of news, we will open the phone lines for your comments, questions, and observations. At the moment, I'm watching Donald Trump. He's making a speech from Pennsylvania. And actually, he's just now wrapped it up. And he's out there, basically the message is, if you want more violence in the streets like you're seeing in Chicago and Portland so forth, and then vote Democratic. But if you want to put up a wall against this kind of liberal craziness, you need to vote Republican. And the audience seemed very receptive to his message there. All right. So let's get right into the news here. The DNC is not doing very well in the ratings race. In fact, they're pulling about roughly half of the audience that they pulled back in 2016, and it is declining rapidly from the opening night on Monday. So this being the final wrap-up where Biden accepts the nomination formally, this will be the end of it. And then, of course, we have next week is the Republican National Convention. We'll see what happens over there. Barack Obama did his speech from the Museum of American Revolution at the DNC and basically slammed President Trump and just went after him tooth and nail. That seems to be the Democrats' only message out there, you know, is get Trump, get Trump, get Trump, get Trump. They're not even talking about their agenda anymore. And we're getting this disturbing story from TMI that the Democrats, if they win in November, they're not going to implement the agenda they're promising their voters. They're going to be working on deficit reduction. And apparently the story was solid enough where the Biden campaign has had to respond to it and backtrack a little bit. Hillary Clinton got up there last night and was speaking about how she won the popular vote back in 2016 and how Trump could steal the election again. She still won't let go of that. And the good news is, as of tonight, Hillary's opportunity to pull some kind of a grandstand seems to have closed. And I, for one, am glad to see that. Okay. Story coming out of Russia today. The left's failure to recognize a massively changed economic landscape gives Trump a real chance of winning this election. Domestically, society is polarizing under his administration, and the electorate fears that the country is heading in the wrong direction. Internationally, allies are alienated and adversaries are provoked, while crucial international treaties are collapsing left and right. Yet the tendency by the political media establishment to dismiss his voters as xenophobes and imbeciles is a mistake. So here you have Russia Today is out there saying that Trump is likely to win re-election here. Okay, Trump has released a new campaign ad against Biden and Kamala, saying Democrats have ruined their cities. Don't let them destroy America. And that's a topic that Trump hit on this speech that he just got done making over in Pennsylvania, which is look at all these Democrat run cities. Okay, look at all these Democrat run cities and understand if they get control of the entire country, it's all going to be like this. Now, I know we had a caller yesterday who said once the Democrats are in charge, they're going to clean up the mess. I don't think so. I don't think so because of the very nature of the way the Democrats view money and voters and the citizens. I don't think it's really going to happen. Okay, apparently a Chinese communist newspaper is endorsing Joe Biden, describing him as smoother to deal with than Donald Trump. And let's see, the Chinese communist newspaper, the Global Times, says Joe Biden may reactivate the job-killing TPP and the Iran nuclear deals pushed by the Obama administration. China is rooting for a weak America. Trump is rooting for a strong America. That's quite an endorsement. Okay, Jill Biden has taken to the airwaves to defend Joe Biden's cognitive ability, continues to say it's absolutely ridiculous to even question that. And, you know, it's kind of weird because remember when the New York Times published an anonymous op-ed claiming that White House cabinet members were whispering about removing President Trump by invoking the 25th Amendment to claim that he was mentally unfit. Trump immediately hit back, slamming the failing Times and their gutless anonymous source. Well, in the case of Biden, it may really be an issue. Because he keeps proving that the marbles aren't all there. So, anyway. Charles Ortel now, he's a Wall Street analyst and he's very good. He's saying it's unlikely that the Democratic Party will win the upcoming presidential election, even though mainstream media and academic thought leaders are stridently against Donald Trump. Well, they were against him in 2016. Remember, the faux media polls were out there saying that Hillary had a 90% gain. She was a shoo-in. She was absolutely going to win, and it did not happen. Nigel Farage is predicting Donald Trump will win in November. He's declared that Joe Biden is wholly unfit for high office. So the architect of the Brexit movement in the United Kingdom said that the Americans should not believe the national polls, saying that he will stick his neck out and predict that Donald Trump will indeed win re-election in November. I wouldn't believe the corporate media polls anyway. They've lied to us so much. Michelle Obama, in her speech, hit the immigration issue and talked about, you know, children being put in cages and by Donald Trump. Ignoring the fact that the cages existed under her husband's administration. Apparently, Associated Press did a fact check on her and pointed out that Michelle completely ignored the fact that her own husband, former President Barack Obama, used the same facilities for the same purpose during his time in the White House. The AP took her to task for this, saying that her claim was misleading at best and was a completely distorted comparison. Now, Goodyear is still in hot water. They came out where there was this leak of a slide during an orientation saying that things like Black Lives Matter t-shirts were okay, but anything with a conservative activist bent was absolutely forbidden. So this employee leaked a screenshot of a slide that was displayed during diversity training showing what types of political expressions permissible in the workplace. The policy deemed statements promoting Black Lives Matter, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender pride were acceptable. However, All Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, MAGA attire, or other materials supporting conservatism were declared to be completely out of bounds. Goodyear is now trying to backtrack on that and say that, well, they're not sure where that slide actually came from, that it wasn't supposed to be part of the official presentation. A little weak, frankly. Donald Trump is calling for a boycott of Goodyear. A lot of people are already out there saying, yeah, time to trade in for Pirelli's. And apparently he's going to take the Goodyear tires off the beast, the presidential limousine. Anyway, talk about COVID-19 here. There's a lot going on. Article coming out of redstate.com. The Annals of Internal Medicine just published a comprehensive new study on how contagious COVID-19 really is. And apparently the case for a number of popular new practices that seem to have filled some spiritual need for self-abasement by Americans just completely collapsed. The list of practices no longer having any conceivable rationale includes closing down schools, closing down gyms, barbershops, or other businesses, limiting the number of patrons allowed in restaurants or other businesses, mass testing for COVID-19, putting healthy people in quarantine, keeping a distance of 3, 6, or some other arbitrary number of feet away from healthy individuals with no criminal intent, wearing masks when it's not Halloween. Likewise, for any humiliating rituals state and local officials plan on forcibly enacting to keep you safe from the scourge of COVID-19 that their own sense of self-worth precludes participating in. In other words, it's all been for show. All been for show. Righty. Now, a top Russian scientist says the Western criticism of the world's first coronavirus vaccine is prompted by fear of competition and loss of face. The vice president of Russia's Academy of Sciences, Vladimir Chekhonin, says they're upset when they're lagging behind Russia. He said he does not think this situation would last too long. A vaccine will soon be registered in China. I'm sure it'll be done within 2 or 3 weeks. And he says such a vaccine will be registered in the United States by year's end. Told you it was all about the money. All about the money. All righty, let's get up to the Portland situation. Remember that Portland protester who kicked that truck driver unconscious? And he's on the run now. Well, apparently he's gone public on social media begging for money in case he gets jailed. He's trying to do fundraising on the internet, on social media, to try and have... Well, he's just out for the money, basically what it is. He's out there begging for cash. And speaking of going after the money, bad timing on this one. Donald Trump's former aide, Steve Bannon, is arrested and indicted over ripping off $25 million crowdfunded border wall scheme to pay for his and his co-founders' lavish lifestyles of boats and private jets. He's looking at 40 years in prison. And apparently he's been charged with defrauding hundreds of people as part of a group that promised to use private money to build a section of the border wall, a signature issue of the president. And you can just guarantee the Democrats are going to try and link the two, you know, saying that Bannon's crimes, that Trump was part of it. And Trump has already gone public saying he had no idea what Bannon was up to after Bannon left the campaign here. Now, they're still going on and on about vote by mail and what's going on with the post office. And they're demanding the resignation of the postmaster general, even though the postmaster general has put a halt to all changes to the postal system until after the election. But over on Twitter, they're saying that viral tweets pushing misinformation about the Postal Service do not violate the company's policies and will be allowed to remain. Another article about Twitter. This one is coming from Russia Today. If you can't compete, cheat. Twitter's shadow banning of Russia Today and other state-linked media proves the U.S. narrative does not measure up. With less than 3 months before the U.S. elections, Twitter has all but memory-holed Russia Today and other state-run media. Even searching their handles draws a blank. For a supposedly free-market country, the U.S. sure hates competition. The official Twitter accounts for Russia Today, Xinhao, and other media outlets owned by certain governments the U.S. doesn't like are being pushed into the shadows, confirming that Twitter is getting serious about its role as one of the chief enforcers of U.S. informational supremacy. But deploying the memory hole against Washington's rivals is tacitly admitting that the same informational supremacy would be doomed without such heavy-handed censorship. And it would be. They can't win the war of ideas. So they're just going to shut the competition out. Facebook has banned another 900 pages and groups linked to QAnon, and the conspiracy theorist group Militia and Violent Movements tied to protests will be stopped from buying ads on its platform. Facebook expands their policy against dangerous individuals and organizations. I assume that includes me. Facebook said in a press release on Wednesday that it has taken steps to expand its policy concerning dangerous organizations and people and restrict the reach of conspiracy theorists like QAnon and others who have demonstrated a significant risk to public safety. Today, we are expanding our dangerous individuals and organizations policy to address organizations and movements that have demonstrated significant risk to public safety but do not meet the rigorous criteria to be designated as a dangerous organization and banned from having any presence on our platform. Okay. Facebook purges and restricts thousands of QAnon, Antifa, and militia accounts, stretching definition of dangerous individuals. Okay, Facebook has removed thousands of groups and pages related to the QAnon conspiracy after expanding its concept of dangerous individuals to include those who merely celebrate violent acts. Streisand effect meets slippery slope. Up in Portland, their police chief is pleading for an end to the endless destruction. I think they're in their 84th night. 200 rioters start fires in the street and attempt to storm ICE building while spraying graffiti and shining lasers at the cops. And remember, these are the people Democrats are saying are mostly peaceful protesters. Portland protesters set fire to the county government building. They broke out the windows of a county government building, sprayed lighter fluid inside, set a fire in a demonstration that started Tuesday night and ended Wednesday morning with clashes with police. The fire at the Multnomah building damaged the county government's Office of Community Involvement, where Oregon's first gay marriage took place and where protective gear has been distributed to try and prevent the spread of the coronavirus. This is the heart of our county, where people in our community come to get married, get their passports, and celebrate their cultural traditions and diversity. Okay. Now, this disavowed Black Lives Matter leader is defending the looting and rioting because, after all, the U.S. steals diamonds and oil. And so apparently Hawk Newsom, the head of the New York branch of Black Lives Matter, refuses to condemn looting as an ethically questionable activity, saying, so when America goes and steals diamonds and oils, who's calling us terrorists? When the American government goes and pillages different countries, who's calling us terrorists? So that's the latest rationale for the looting. You know, the U.S. does it. We're allowed to do it, too. It's reparations. It isn't. It's looting. Let's just call it what it is. It's looting. And, yes, it's wrong when the U.S. does it, too. Does that make you feel better? Two wrongs don't make a right. All right, a little bit of economic news here. The Bank of Nova Scotia is paying $127 million in fines over criminal precious metal manipulation. And apparently back in April, one of the pillars of the gold trading business, Bank of Nova Scotia's Scotia Makata business, was closing after failing to find a buyer in a sale process that started in late 2017. As we further reported, Scotia was for years the world's biggest lender to the physical precious metals industry, with a history stretching back to the founding in 1684 of London gold dealer Makata Bullion, which it bought in 1997. Once a global player with more than 100 staff and offices from New York and London to India and Hong Kong, the bank effectively exited the business in 2018 following the above-mentioned strategic review and unsuccessful attempt to find a buyer. Okay, apparently right now the middle class are in trouble. It now takes 53 weeks of median wages every year to pay for basic needs. A reminder, it's only 52 weeks in every year. So people are sinking more and more into debt. They're unable to meet the basic needs. Turning to the international news, militants shell towns in Syria's Aleppo, according to the Russian military. Militants from Hayat Tahrir al-Sham have attacked a settlement in the Syrian province of Aleppo. This, according to Rear Admiral Alexei Shcherbitsky, the head of the Russian Defense Minister's Center for Syrian Reconciliation. We have registered one attack on the settlement of Basrutan in the Aleppo province from the positions of Jabhat al-Nusra terrorist organization, Shcherbitsky said. The Rear Admiral added that Russian military police units had also conducted patrols in the provinces of Raqqa, Asaka, and Deir el-Zor. The largest U.S. base in Syria has been targeted in a rocket attack amid soaring tensions with locals. The largest U.S. base in Syria was targeted by a number of missiles in the eastern countryside of the Deir el-Zor governorate on Tuesday. According to reports from eastern Syria, the U.S. base at the Conoco oil fields was targeted with a number of rockets fired by an unknown group in the Deir el-Zor countryside. Up in Afghanistan, the Afghan army tells their personnel to be ready to return fire against Pakistan. Constant tensions along the ill-defined Afghan-Pakistan border look to be coming to a head again, with the Afghan army issuing a statement in which they instruct personnel to prepare for retaliatory fire against the Pakistani military in case they cross the border. This comes after an overnight incident in Kandahar, in which Pakistani artillery fired across the border, killing 9 civilians, wounding scores of others in a residential area. Details are still not entirely clear. The incidents are not clear but not unusual, as the Durand Line border tends to be contested by both sides. Cross-border fire happens often without a solid explanation. So there's another flashpoint that we can be keeping an eye on here. Okay, a recent satellite photo managed to capture a Chinese submarine entering a cave base on Hainan Island in the northern end of the South China Sea. A photograph of the sea outside the Yulin Naval Base by private Earth imaging company Planet Labs captured an unusual scene, a large submarine positioned just outside the mouth of the cavernous Chinese citadel. The photo was first posted on social media by Radio Free Asia, a U.S. government-funded media outlet that's part of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, along with Radio Free Europe, its propaganda outlet. In the image, a submarine flanked by two small surface vessels sits just outside the mouth of the cave, leading to the base facing toward it. There we are. Now, Shades of Strategic Defense Initiative. The U.S. Oh, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
Welcome back to our show here, and a reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network is in a perpetual state of fundraising, and the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. Okay, we're just getting word now that Steve Bannon has entered a plea of not guilty regarding the fraud that he's been charged with and is going to be released on a $5 million bond. Getting on back to the international news here, the U.S. and Japan have just teamed up for multiple joint air and sea exercises in a message to China. This is an implicit message to China. The Japanese and U.S. militaries have teamed up for exercises involving warships, heavy bombers, advanced fighter jets, and an aircraft carrier in the waters and airspace near Japan. The scale and tempo of the multiple joint exercises was noticeably large and came as Sino-U.S. tensions continued to spiral over security, economic, and human rights concerns. Meanwhile, the U.S. and Japan are getting ready to build a network of missile-intercepting satellites. I mean, this is right out of a strategic defense initiative. The United States and Japan will jointly build a network of small satellites capable of detecting new missiles as Tokyo warns of increasing threats from North Korea. The purpose of the satellites will be to complement the currently existing system of missile defense, which includes Japan's PAC-3 missile interceptors. The U.S. is now calling on Iraq to dismantle all their armed groups, with Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa Kademi set to visit the U.S. this week. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is demanding that Iraq dismantle all Shiite militias in the country, calling them a threat to national sovereignty and promising U.S. support in doing this. The U.S. has long had a problem with the Shiite militias, even though in recent wars like the ISIS war, they were on the same side. This is because the militias are friendly with Iran, and the U.S. sees them as a potential enemy in a future Iran war. This has been a hassle for Kademi since he took power, and he's seen as a U.S. ally, but also needs to try to avoid outright fights with the militia. This has left a tenuous balance and one that the U.S. wants to tip the scales over. Now, Washington is offering aid to Lebanon, to Beirut, to rebuild from the horrendous explosion, as long as Beirut dances to its tune. A senior U.S. official has declared that no outside aid can fix Lebanon's problems, yet in the same breath offered funds to alleviate the country's problems, provided Beirut toe the American line. In the aftermath of a devastating explosion that leveled much of Beirut and killed more than 200 people, U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs David Hale has condemned Lebanon's ruling elite, declaring that his government cannot fix the country's problems from outside. Well, the government has already resigned. Lebanon's forming a new government. Donald Trump is out there, as of yesterday, saying he intends to restore all the economic sanctions against Iran, which were reimposed in 2018 when Trump accused Tehran of breaking the terms of the 2015 nuclear deal. Trump told reporters at the White House he was sending U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to notify the U.N. Security Council that the U.S. intends to restore virtually all suspended sanctions on Iran. It's a snapback, Trump said. I think it's a mistake. First of all, there was never any evidence Tehran had broken the terms of the 2015 nuclear deal. It was Trump who broke the terms of the nuclear deal by pulling out unilaterally. You know, this is Iraq all over again. Weapons of mass destruction. And nobody has any proof that Iran was doing any of those activities. Everything Iran was doing with nuclear technology was allowed to it under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So Trump is demanding full restoration of the U.S. sanctions on Iran as Pompeo warns Russia and China not to meddle. Probably smarting from Russia and China's commentary on the arms embargo last Friday here. Anyway, Trump said the State Department will soon attempt to trigger a snapback of U.N. sanctions as the top American diplomat threatened consequences for Moscow and Beijing if they try and block the effort. Pompeo is also out there saying that keeping nukes from the Saudis is a top U.S. priority. Nobody's allowed to have nuclear weapons in the Middle East except Israel, of course. And following reports that this is a specific concern of Israel, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he believes that there's a real risk that Saudi Arabia will get nuclear weapons and that the U.S. views it as a top priority to try and prevent the Saudis from obtaining such weapons. Recent reports, all centering on the Israeli narrative, claim the Saudis are processing yellow cake uranium and they're getting secret help from China that could lead to the acquisition of nuclear arms in the future. I think they'd be more likely to get it from Pakistan, personally. This is an unusual place for the administration to be in, as the general support among arming the Saudis to the teeth, and Pompeo has repeatedly gone to bat for the idea the Saudis need more arms for their emergency state. These are, of course, all U.S.-made arms. Saudi Arabia. Oh, take another break for commercial. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show here. And Saudi Arabia is looking at the deal recently forged between Israel and the United Arab Emirates to establish normal diplomatic ties. And Saudi Arabia is saying they're not going to go along with that until there's Palestinian peace. And they're basically saying Saudi Arabia will establish diplomatic ties with Israel when Israel has signed an internationally recognized peace accord with the Palestinians. So I'm glad that Saudi Arabia is standing firm on that one. Meanwhile, Erdogan is out there talking tough, saying that no threats can deter Turkey's operations in the Mediterranean. That, of course, is aimed primarily at Greece. No threats could deter Turkey from seeking natural resources in the eastern Mediterranean, President Erdogan said on Wednesday, adding that Ankara expects actors in the region to take steps to de-escalate the tensions. Greece and Cyprus are locked in a dispute with Turkey over overlapping claims to areas potentially rich in resources. Two Turkish survey vessels are in areas claimed by the three countries. On Tuesday, Cyprus said it was willing to engage with all of its neighbors on defining maritime boundaries. So another place they're fighting over here. Belarus sends missiles and drones to the western borders, says we won't budge, says they are responding to NATO activity. Actually, what Lukashenko is doing is giving his military something to think about that is not, you know, coup d'etat, bring down the government like happened in Mali here. But anyway, the Belarusian defense minister has ordered troops in the western Grodno region to be reinforced with tactical missile units, drones, and air defense systems after President Lukashenko told him to keep an eye on NATO. Earlier, Lukashenko had said that increased NATO activities on the nation's western borders had sparked some concerns in Minsk, adding that movements near the Grodno region in particular got you thinking. The Belarusian military apparently took his advice to heart, as Defense Minister Major General Viktor Krenin immediately ordered the forces under the Western Operational Command to be beefed up with a tactical missile and multiple rocket launcher battalions, drone, and air defense systems. Another flashpoint. Sooner or later, somebody's going to do something really stupid. It's all going to come. It's all going to blow up. I mean, you can just feel war in the air, can't you? Okay, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is out there saying that the European Union is not genuinely interested in human rights or democracy in Belarus. The real motivation is geopolitical. And he's absolutely right. Obviously, Belarus is in that key position between Europe and Russia, and whichever side they align with will have significant ramifications for future politics in the area here. So Moscow is alarmed by Western attempts to profit from Belarus' internal activities and believes its neighbor should be left alone. Speaking to TV channel Russia One, Lavrov called on Belarusians to sort out their own affairs and reject the nation of having to side with either Russia or the European Union. He added that members of the bloc weren't genuinely interested in human rights and democracy, but instead a desire to pull Minsk into their orbit. Now, this is an interesting story, and we need to pay attention to this very carefully because of what happened with the Skripals. Apparently, Alexei Navalny, who is a Putin rival, has been rushed to the hospital after supposedly drinking poison tea. And you need to read this very, very carefully. We assume that Alexei was poisoned with something mixed with his tea. It was the only thing he drank this morning. So they don't actually know. It's a supposition. But he is unconscious and he is in the hospital. And apparently he's on an artificial lung ventilator. Now, did Putin have this guy poisoned? It's entirely possible. Or did somebody poison this guy to blame on Putin? Remember what happened with the Skripals. Over in Mali, the crisis is continuing there. The president has resigned after being arrested in the military coup. Okay, I heard something. Whoops. Okay. All right, so Mali's president, Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta, has denounced his decision to resign and dissolve the parliament in order to avoid bloodshed following his arrest by mutinous soldiers. Today, certain parts of the military have decided that intervention was necessary. Do I really have a choice? Because I do not wish blood to be shed, a tired-looking Keïta said in a brief statement broadcast on state television from a military base in Kati on Wednesday. The development comes after hours after soldiers at the base in Kati, a town 15 kilometers from the capital of Bamako, staged a mutiny detaining an unspecified number of high-ranking military and political figures, including the foreign and finance ministers and parliament speaker. So it looks like Mali's about to get a whole new government down there. I hope it's an improvement for the people. Probably won't be, but I hope so. Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan says his country will never recognize Israel until the issue of Palestine is resolved. This coming days after the United Arab Emirates reached a normalization deal with Israel. In an interview with the private Dunya News Network on Tuesday, Khan said Islamabad will not follow suit in recognizing Israel in a reference to Abu Dhabi, which has reached a highly controversial deal with Tel Aviv to establish full diplomatic ties. Our stance is very clear from day one. And Quaid al-Azam Muhammad al-Jinnah has said Pakistan can never accept Israel until the people of Palestine get rights and a state. The Pakistani prime minister further noted that recognition of Israel equals to abandoning Pakistan's stance on the Muslim-majority Kashmir region. Now, here's an interesting story. Right now, Israel is bombing the heck out of Gaza, supposedly targeting Hamas in retaliation for these incendiary balloons that are continuing to drift across the border into Israel. I have to wonder who it is who's launching these incendiary balloons just at the moment Israel most needs them. Because remember, Israel is trying to find some way to demonize Hamas ahead of the International War Crimes Tribunal up at The Hague, which is investigating Israeli war crimes against the Palestinians. So Israel desperately, desperately needs for them to look bad. So incendiary balloons landed throughout the southern Israel on Wednesday as tensions continue to rise between Israel and terrorist groups in the Gaza Strip. Police sappers handled a number of balloons that landed within and near towns and residential areas in southern Israel. Israel's fire and rescue services announced on Wednesday evening there were 28 fires throughout the day. All right. And of course, IDF jets launch retaliatory strikes on Hamas posts in Gaza. Anyway, 5 days before the deadline, Israeli election appears imminent as Netanyahu and Gantz lock horns. The two leaders have not spoken in over a week, and Israel appears to be headed straight to its fourth election in less than 2 years. With no compromise in sight between Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud and Defense Minister Benny Gantz's Kahol Levan parties over the state budget, Parliament could dissolve on Monday, and Israel will head to its fourth election in less than 2 years. Negotiations are deadlocked over a proposed bill to extend the deadline for passing a new budget, which expires on Monday. With talks stalled, Netanyahu and Gantz have not spoken in over a week. So we'll see what happens there. The United States is suspending all extradition and tax treaties with Hong Kong as it's no longer sufficiently autonomous, perhaps belatedly, but hugely significant following Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Germany, France, and Britain doing the same. The U.S. on Wednesday formally halted its extradition treaty with Hong Kong in protest of Beijing's previously imposed national security law and amid soaring tensions with China more broadly. The U.S. State Department announced it's part of a total of 3 U.S. bilateral agreements with Hong Kong being permanently dropped. Over at Boeing, they're starting to sort of hem and haw and hedge, and they're starting to change the name of the 737 MAX to the 737-8. And it's still the same aircraft, but that MAX name, they need that to go away. So apparently, Polish Inter Air had ordered 2 737 MAX aircraft, the first order for the infamous airplane this year. The second reason was perhaps more notable. For the first time, Boeing officially dropped the MAX moniker from the jet's branding and substituted the Dash 8. While the aircraft family is still the MAX, Boeing called the model the 737-8 for the first time in a deal, in an announcement. So they're renaming it. All right. The wildfires in California are just raging across the strait, tens of thousands forced to evacuate. This is up in the North Bay area. During a Wednesday news conference, California Governor Gavin Newsom revealed there are more than 360 known fires currently burning in California. The state is experiencing record heat levels. Well, yeah, the place is on fire. And seen more than 10,000 lightning strikes in the last 72 hours. I'm wondering if they're going to try and blame that on Iran or China. We're quite familiar with these challenges, Newsom said, but there's no question. While last year we experienced some acuity of fires, the total number of fires was substantially lower than we're experiencing this year. Newsom said the last 72 hours has stretched resources. Well, I wish them a lot of luck out there. The other problem they're dealing with is power. They don't have enough. And I'm looking at this article coming out of Washington Examiner saying that Green California has the nation's worst power grid. Mike in the control room just, I'm sorry, David in Crucial Nonsense just said COVID causes lightning. Anyway, California has the nation's worst power grid, and a lot of it has to do with all this green energy and not building more oil and coal-fired power supplies and trying to rely on solar cells and wind, and it's not keeping up. At 6:30 p.m. on Friday, PG&E, California's biggest utility, began shutting off power in rolling outages to force a reduction in demand. Southern California Edison also denied power to homes beginning just before 7 p.m. Shutoffs impacted a rotating group of up to 2 million customers until 11 p.m. The California Independent System Operator declared a Stage 3 electrical emergency, the first such emergency since 2001. Spot electricity prices soared to more than $1,000 per megawatt hour, more than 10 times the usual price. All righty. Now, this struck me as a little sick. We're all familiar with that five-year-old boy who was killed, shot execution style, on his bicycle in his own front yard, you know, by the neighbor. And apparently there was this detention officer over in New Jersey posted on Facebook that, well, the kid should have ducked. Kind of a little heartless, cold thing. And as a result, he's been suspended from his job. Well, good. You know, I think a little sympathy for this five-year-old boy. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines now, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Elon Musk is working on yet another project. I mean, the guy can't sit still. He's got the Teslas, he's got SpaceX, and now he's working on something called the Neuralink. And this is basically your brain with a USB-C port in it. And that's Musk's vision for a brain-machine interface. Now, he wrote a white paper in July 2019 that he claimed his company Neuralink had taken a huge step towards building a scalable, high-bandwidth brain-machine interface system that would let the human brain stream full broadband electrophysiology data to a network, including a combination of ultrafine polymer probes, a neurosurgical robot that sews them into the brain, and custom high-density electronics. Boy, shades of William Gibson. Neuromancer. A single USB-C cable provides full bandwidth data streaming from the device, the paper noted, the device having been stitched, in theory, to your cerebral cortex. Neuroscientists were varying shades of intrigued, appalled, and dismissive. The custom hardware would only pick up noise, they suggested. Interpretation of brainwaves simply wasn't that advanced. The ethical issues were pronounced. The body would reject this level of intervention. Where was the peer review of the paper? Well, it does sound a little ways out there, but on the other hand, if you look at Elon Musk's track record, true, he's not a very good businessman with Tesla. And, you know, but you look at what he's doing with SpaceX, and I don't know, I wouldn't bet against him in the long run. And we know that somewhere down the road, this is going to happen, you know, and you'll have, you know, movies beamed directly into your brain, which means you'll be right in the middle of it, which would be kind of cool. You'd be able to, like in The Matrix, you know, I need a pilot program for this helicopter. Boom, there it's downloaded. You know how to fly. That would be really cool. All right, we're going to take a phone call now from Dustin in New Jersey. Hello, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Can those kids in Iraq, Libya, and Syria duck when they got killed, the five-year-olds over there? You know?
Yeah.
You know what, Mike? There's no sympathy for anybody anymore. You notice that? It's just...
Yeah, I've noticed that.
It's a total disregard for just anything being a human being. You know, it's like, just think about that. What about in Vietnam? What about the five-year-olds that got killed from the bombings in Cambodia and there? You know, like...
Napalm.
They're thrown away like a piece of garbage, you know? But, I mean, I feel bad for the five-year-old and the family, man. I mean, like, it's horrible. People are animals, Mike, but people are animals even here. You know that. He killed a five-year-old, so what do you think your government does around the world? You know, we're all animals, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. All right, Mike. M. Baga. Make my bank account great again, right, Steve Bannon? M. Baga, right?
Yeah, but, I like Mike, that one. I want the hat.
Yeah,
I want the hat.
It's M. Baga. Because, you know what, Mike, it's not just Steve Bannon. It's three others charged, including, you saw that triple Iraqi amputee and his wife. They got jewelry, plastic surgery, a new SUV, cash. And I don't know if you saw the picture of the golf cart. It's like the Lamborghini of golf carts. It has, like, leather seats. It's blue. I mean, see, guys? I mean, and, you know, Mike, Trump might not be involved in it, but Don Jr. visited part of that fake. Was that a fake wall, basically? Basically, was this basically a scam? You know, I mean...
Well, they were skimming. I mean, they did collect a lot of money, and a lot of it went into the wall, but they basically skimmed a bunch off the top for their elevated lifestyles, and they weren't supposed to do that. That definitely counts as felony fraud.
Isn't that sad, though? You see how... Like, if you donate to anything, you know, like, you never know, right? Like, it's just, everybody's on the take, it seems, right? Like, everybody's yes. out just for the buck, and they don't give a crap. And, you know, I never liked Steve Bannon. He was always a China basher, right? Him and Peter Navarro, they're on that because they're an economic rival, and Steve Bannon knows that, you know? But Mike, I'm going to switch over to the, my internet was off yesterday because I was having some still issues from that hurricane we had. ISIS?
Yes. Yes.
But like, did you talk about the MyPillow guy?
No, I didn't, but we definitely do need to do that. So go ahead and actually, we got to take a break for commercials here. So Justin, stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you. We'll talk about the MyPillow guy after these words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Dustin in New Jersey. And, Dustin, you were going to tell us about the MyPillow guy.
And please, nobody, don't eat a MyPillow, okay? Mike, what is oleandrin flowers? Like, what is that?
It's an ornamental bush, but it is highly toxic. No, it's very toxic.
Well, you know the whole story with that. They're, like, he sits on the board of Phoenix Biotech out of Texas, and they're trying to get FDA approval, like, to get this supplement put on the market. But obviously you can't say it cures cancer or coronavirus or anything, right? So they're trying to get this pill on the market, but I'm like, he has a benefit of it getting on the market, right? He sits on the board. He's plans, you know, he stands to make a lot of money on something that's just like a supplement, right? Like, I mean, and I know Ben Carlson, he pushed a lot of, you know, supplements. I ain't got a problem with supplements, but this is crazy. You know, Mike, it's like you get your foot in the door of somebody you got that's powerful, and you can get your stuff pushed through, you know? That's what it seems.
Well,
I could be
let me
wrong.
Back
you know
off
what I mean?
Here. Let me back off here and say, you know, okay. that oleander as a whole is toxic, but there may be an extract that they're pulling from it that is not. But again, you have to be very, very careful when you're dealing with supplements because, you know, some of them make a lot of claims, which are documented, you know, like Extendivite. And there's a lot of new ones that are coming along where you have to be very a little bit more skeptical.
Yeah, because I'm like, you know, I look back with Steve Bannon now and all. I mean, you know, it's just everybody wants – I know everybody wants to make money, but, man, I'm telling you, Mike, what a corrupt system we got. I mean, it's unfit. I mean, you know, it's unfixable at this point, guys. It doesn't – like I said, Mike, it doesn't matter who you vote for. You know, it's like you might have some minor things and stuff, but at the end of the day, the indictments ain't coming. I mean, what happened to Ghislaine Maxwell? You know, like, what's happened with that? I mean, you know, it's just on and on and on. Nothing,
well,
the system remains, Mike, you know?
She's in prison. She goes to court next July.
Next July, holy. Well, you know what, Mike? The system remains, you know? Nothing's been fixed. Nothing's been improved. What? Hey, guys, what's been improved?
We've lost our moral compass.
Yeah, man, like, it's... Oh, Mike, before I get off the phone, if I still got time, I want to go real quick to a study from Sydney and Shanghai.
Yes.
This is separate about the coronavirus. Let me not get this wrong. The less humidity, the more the virus spreads. The more humidity, the less the virus spreads. You understand that? Because with more humidity, there's more water particles in the air, I believe, right? So that would push... So that's a new study coming out, which the hot and the cold don't really matter because, you know, when it's kind of hot and humid out, you put the air conditioning on, right? And doesn't that pull out humidity?
Yeah, it does. It tends to dehumidify the air.
And in the cold weather, you put on the heater. Doesn't that get out kind of the dampness humidity with the heater on?
Basically, it'll lower the relative humidity, but not the absolute humidity.
Can you do some research on that for me?
Yeah, I'll do some research on that for you.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, we're going to take a break from station identification. Got another caller waiting on the line. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.